Welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning's message is from Minister to Children, Joyce Oliver. It's entitled, The Times of Our Lives. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's Joyce Oliver.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Amen. I'm not going to ask how many of you remember or know from whence that comes. I only know because I heard that part of it. My mom would not let me watch it. But I understood what it meant. I understood that it meant through the passage of time, life happens. There is a time for everything. A time to be a child. A time to be an adult. A time for daylight savings time to end. Oh, boo. The Bible talks a lot about time. Appointed time, sacred time, course of time. When the time comes, before your time, at all times, a long time, at that time, near the time, after the time, in times of. It is time. A time is coming. Three times, seven times, over 800 times through the Bible, we hear about time. So on this Time Change Sunday, let's look a bit at time. Reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. You may read along on the screen or in your pew Bibles, page 473. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men so that they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Let's pray. God, during this time, right here, right now, may we open our hearts to hear you. May you help us to see what you have called us to do during this time, during this season. Thank you, O God. Amen. Time in the form of seasons is a wonderful gift from God. I grew up in Louisiana. My husband, Ron, grew up in the north. A year after we got married, we moved to Burlington, Vermont, South Burlington, Vermont. They have winter. As a girl growing up in Louisiana, I was not familiar with that. They have snow, lots of it, and it lasts for weeks. The first snowfall came, and I turned to Ron and I said, I want you to teach me how to shovel snow. And he kind of looked at me like, what? But then graciously agreed that he would help me learn how to shovel snow. And so we go out and we start shoveling. And after just a few minutes, I realized this was work. And so I turned to him and said, thanks, I'm done. And he very gently helped me to see that we had a whole driveway to shovel. Well, by the time spring came around, I saw grass for the first time. Now, it wasn't really the first time I had seen grass, but after all the snow, I remember driving down the road, looking through the patches of snow and seeing this green stuff popping up. And I squealed, "There's grass." I was so very excited. As I have grown older, I still like seasons. Some of them I like more than others of them, but I like them. Seasons of the year are truly a wonderful gift from God. Seasons of life are also a wonderful gift from God. No matter where you live, no matter where you grew up, no matter what your current age, know this. Seasons of life are a wonderful gift from God. I have had the joy of living for 50-something years. And as I have, I pray that I will live much longer. But as I do, I pray that I will not only live, but I will live for Jesus. That I will make a difference in the lives of people around me. I pray that for you as well, because I can live through seasons of the year or seasons of life and simply go about marking them off without making a difference. But that is not what God has called me to do, and that is not what God has called you to do. What are you here for? What are you here for right now, at this time? What is God calling you to do today? And what is God calling you to do in the future that you must prepare for today? There are some Bible stories that can help us to know how to be right in the right time, in the right moment, to do the right thing when God calls us to do them. We're going to look at a couple of those. The shepherds. There they were, taking care of their sheep on the hill at night, just living their life. And an angel and then a whole host shows up and says, "Don't be afraid." And as those shepherds were on the hillside, they made a decision like that. They said, "We're going to go see this Jesus. We're going to go find this baby." They made the decision right then, right there, to follow what the angels had said. Matthew chapter 4 has a story of Jesus walking along the banks of the river, and in there was a boat filled with fishermen. And Jesus looked over and said to them, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible tells us that right like that, they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. They were prepared to do what God called them to do at that moment. Luke chapter 10 has the story of the Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by, crossed over to the other side, and kept going. So then did a Levite. Walk by, see him, cross over to the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, saw him and took pity on him. He went to him, he bandaged up his wounds, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, gave the innkeeper money to take care of the man, and said, "I will come back and give you more money and see how he is doing soon." Like that, the Samaritan man made a decision to interrupt his schedule, his life, to take care of who was in front of him. John chapter 6 has a story of this thousands of people who go to the hillside, and they are there on the hillside because they want to hear Jesus preach. They want to hear him teach. They want to listen to who he is and what he has to say. And as they are there, they get hungry. Now, I don't know if no one brought a lunch or thought of it, except for one mama. But we have the story of one little boy who had his lunch. And like that, gave it to Jesus so that Jesus could feed the thousands. Luke 19 has a story of a short man, Zacchaeus, who knew that this man who people were talking about was coming to town. And he knew he wanted to hear him, learn from him, see what this was all about. So he did what apparently a lot of people in the town did. They went to the streets and lined the streets so that they could see Jesus coming in. But as Zacchaeus got there, you know the story. What happened was he was too short and the people were too tall and too many in front of him. So he did what he could think to do, to climb a tree so that he could see Jesus. And Jesus, coming down the street in the midst of all of the people, noticed Zacchaeus and said, "Come on down. I'm going to your house today." And like that, Zacchaeus said, "Okay." We know the rest of the story, that Zacchaeus' house literally, figuratively needed cleaning. And Jesus helped him to do just that. These callings from God may be as startling to us as it was to the shepherds on the hillside, or they may be quiet nudges in our heart. We will notice them and be able to follow them when we have followed Jesus. When we are prayerful and studious, and we are working to follow Jesus. Some of you tell me stories from time to time, and I love hearing your stories of how God is at work in your life, how you have met people, or how you have helped neighbors, or how you have been a good Samaritan to others. And as you do, sometimes you do these actions, these caregiving actions, these loving Christian actions with words and deeds, actions, or sometimes you do them with just actions. And you are sensitive to how God is at work in your life so that you will know how to help these people know that you are doing this not just out of the goodness of your heart, but because Jesus has made a difference in your life and you are here and there to help them know that same Jesus. About a month ago, I had the opportunity of speaking at Roberta Tassi's funeral. And I told the story there that I will tell here, that in 2013, Roberta had a stroke. She was in the hospital, and the doctors had come to the ER room where we were and said to the family, and Pastor Greg and myself were there, and said, "She will not regain consciousness. She will die in a day or two." And so Mr. Willis, her husband, Timothy, her son, and Pastor Greg walked out of the room to go make some phone calls and take care of some business. And I was standing by her bed, and I was quietly praying and thanking God for Miss Roberta. And I was standing there just quiet when all of a sudden the quietness was broken with her saying, "Well, I thought I was going to get to see Jesus." And just like that, she was back. She went on to say, "I saw the people along the way. I could almost see him, and I was running toward him, and I could hear him say, 'Not yet. I'm not finished with you yet.'" And then, without missing a beat, Miss Roberta said, "I wonder what God wants me to do." She not only knew that she had more time to live, she knew that she had more to give. She wasn't sure at that moment, nor in the several months that I visited her before she moved away. The times that I visited her, often she would say, "Joyce, I'm still trying to decide what God wants me to do. I know God has a plan for me. And then she would proceed to tell me about the different people, caregivers, who would come in. And she had said, can we sing together? And they would sing a song. Can I tell you about my Jesus? And she would tell them. There are also Bible stories that help us to know that we need to do something now to prepare for the future. God is calling us now to do things, to prepare our hearts so that we can be ready with action later. Let's look at a couple of those. Okay, we're going to start with Noah. Gee whiz, he started building that boat. And we know people thought he was crazy. But Genesis 6:9 tells us Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. Moses was a baby. His mom and his sister helped him so that he could live during some very tumultuous times, so that he could later lead a nation. Then there's the Old Testament Joseph. Old Testament Joseph, who not only interpreted dreams, but he worked diligently to help prepare food, prepare the harvest, help workers know to prepare the harvest so that they could feed a nation and his family, who his brothers, who had so turned themselves on him earlier in life. Genesis 39:5 says, from the time the Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed him because of Joseph. The Lord will bless people because of you. Naaman from 2 Kings, he had leprosy. He wanted to be healed. He wanted to be full again. He wanted to be clean again. And so he sought off on a journey. And through that journey, a servant girl said, go find Prophet Elijah. He will help you. And so he went on a trip and he worked to get to Elijah, only to hear, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Not 6, not 5, but 7. Naaman had to follow through with what God had instructed Elijah to tell him to do. Who are you listening to? Who is helping you to know what to do? New Testament Joseph. Here he was, about to be married, and an angel comes to him and says, it's okay, get ready, it's okay. Still take Mary as your wife. And he was faithful enough to do so. Preparing long in advance were the Magi, wise men, waiting, looking, searching, studying so that they could be ready to go visit Jesus. How are you following Jesus today in ways that will make a difference later? There's a couple here in our church who occasionally will bring a gift to me. It's a gift that they give to me in order to give to someone else. Not too long ago, they brought a very large box of baby diapers and said, we had a coupon, we had the money, we thought maybe you would know of somebody who could use it. I did. I gave it to the people. It was needed. It was used. I sent a thank you to the couple, and the couple wrote back and said, we don't have children, but we love people who do, and we want to support them. So what we do is set aside $25 every pay period so that we can be ready to purchase things or to give things or to give money when God touches our heart to do so. What is God preparing you to do today? Will you do it? And what is God preparing you to do tomorrow? And will you do it? Part of my story. A couple of years ago, our youngest went off to college, leaving us empty nesters. Those of you who have been there know exactly what this look is all about. I wasn't sure what to do. I had spent a lot of years helping my boys, being mom to them. That was part of my identity, part of who I am, part of what I felt called to do. And I remember thinking at one point, I guess I'm done. I did not know how to invest myself in other people to the same degree or with the same intensity that I had as a parent. And so it took a little bit of soul searching. It took a whole lot of soul searching to realize that God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished creating me who God wants me to be. God's not finished challenging me to be who He wants me to be. God is not finished with me, but it is up to me to be ready to respond to God's call upon my life every day that I live. It is up to you to be prepared to respond to God every day you live with what God wants you to do during this time of your life. Okay, so you may be thinking, all right, then, I'll be prepared. I'll do whatever God calls me to do. But wait, how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. Let me make a simple recommendation for you to seriously contemplate and prayerfully implement. When someone new joins St. Matthew's Baptist Church, Pastor Greg meets them here and he says to them, as he is introducing them to us, he will say, there are two things I want you to do. There are two things I want you to do, and this will help you to grow. First thing that I want you to do is to find a small group Bible study in which to learn and connect with people. And the second thing I want you to do, find a ministry. We study so that we can know Jesus. We are involved in a small group Bible study so that we can be as Jesus with one another. And we find a ministry so we can do the work of Jesus. There is something that happens in us when we study Scripture, when we pray, when we think about God's Word, and when we apply it to our life. That happens inside of us. There is something that happens for us and among us when we are with a small group of people in Bible study, in prayer, in time together, in living life together. And there is something that happens through us when we share our gifts in ministry. There's a story about a pastor who preached a sermon on loving one another. People left church that morning and said, good sermon, Pastor, good sermon, yeah. The next Sunday, the pastor gets up and preaches the same sermon. That Sunday, as people left, they didn't say as much to the pastor, but to themselves they said, The third Sunday came, the pastor stood in the pulpit, preached the same sermon about loving one another. That afternoon, the deacons had a special call business deacons meeting, called the pastor and said, what are you doing? We've heard this. Why are you preaching the same sermon? Can you not think of another? What's the deal? And the pastor very wisely said, when we start living like we are loving one another, Then I will move on to the next sermon. Some of you still need to find a small group Bible study in which to engage. And some of you still need to find a ministry. Once you do both of those things, we can grow as St. Matthew's Baptist Church and make a viable difference in this world and for us. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Your due time is today. Your due time may also be next week, next year, or the next season of your life. Because I believe that God uses us all, uses us each, during every time, every day, every season of our life, if we avail ourselves to him and allow him to work through us so that we can help others to know Jesus. Every day, we have the time. Every day, we have the time to make a difference for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in times of distress. Be our refuge in times of trouble. And right now, in this very time, may we make ourselves available to you so that you can work through us, work in us, work among us, and make a difference in this world. God, we give ourselves to you now, tomorrow, and forevermore, for all of time. Amen.
Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue, between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.